Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com with another study in the book of Revelations. We're now on chapter 9, and in this study, we'll cover verses 6 through 12. Let me first read those verses, and then we'll go into a little introduction, asking a few questions, and then we'll take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. Well, let's begin by first reading those verses. Starting at verse 6, we read, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had over them a king, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." In Revelation chapter 9, verses 6 through 12, we continue with a description of the spiritual judgment that has come upon the whole world at the sounding of the fifth angel, which began on May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline of history, and continues to the end of the world. During this time, we are told that men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Does this mean that ever since May 21, 2011, that all kinds of people have been seeking to die by suicide, but for some reason death flees from them? The answer to this question we will find in this study. But then during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, we are also told in verses 7 through 8, that the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now, we already learned in our previous study that the locusts symbolize the spiritual judgment of God, which has come upon the entire world with no more eternal salvation possible. But what does it mean that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and that on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men? And what does it mean that they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions? The answer to these questions we will find in this study. But also during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, we are told in verses 9 through 10 that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now what does it mean that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron? And the sound of the wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And what does it mean that these locusts had tails with stings in them by which they had power to hurt people for 5 months? The answers to these questions we will find in this study. But last of all, during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, we are also told that in verse 11 that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now just who is this king over these locusts, which is the angel of the bottomless pit? And what does the name Abaddon and Apollyon mean, which this king is named? Now, with these questions in mind, may our Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought his judgment of locusts upon the earth in these days, grant us a deeper understanding of the terrible days in which we now live. Amen. Now let's take each verse one by one, and let's first look at verse 6, and let me read that once again. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, the context of this verse is in those days. That is, in those days during the 5 months, which is, as we learned in our previous study of verse 5 that you can click on, not 5 literal months, but 5 spiritual months, which refers to all the days of Judgment Day from May 21, 2011 until the end of the world, however many days that may actually be. It is in these days that we are now in when men shall seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. But does this mean that people are now, ever since May 21, 2011, seeking to physically die, but they're not able? Of course not. If people really wanted to physically die, they could easily do that through suicide if they really wanted to. But that is not what is being taught here. What is being taught is that in these days of judgment, people are seeking death in Christ, which is salvation. But they are not able to find it because there is no longer any salvation or death in Christ possible. We read of death having to do with salvation or death in Christ in Romans 6. Let's read verses 3 through 8. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So, the death that people are seeking for during this time of judgment that we are now in is the death which comes by death in Jesus Christ. Yet unfortunately, they cannot find it because ever since May 21, 2011, any possibility of eternal salvation has come to an end. Yes, even though there are many who desire salvation in Jesus Christ, it is as though salvation flees from them all, for salvation is nowhere to be found in these days of judgment. Oh yes, there are many who think they have been or are being saved through false gospels, but in reality, there is no one any longer truly becoming eternally saved. We read more about this in Luke 13. I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Strive to enter at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, which he did on May 21, 2011, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Here we are told right out that many have been seeking to enter into heaven by knocking at the door. But because the master had risen up and had shut the door on May 21, 2011, no one has been allowed into the door of heaven ever since. Rather, Christ is saying to them all, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. And even when they say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets, he says to them, I know ye not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Yes, these days are terrible times. People desire salvation, but they can't be saved. It is too late. The Lord had given them plenty of warning as May 21, 2011 drew closer and closer. And he commanded them to come out from their churches because the abomination of desolation had taken up his seat in them ever since May 21, 1988, but they would not take heed. In addition, the whole world heard the date of Judgment Day, but they did not listen. And now, after May 21, 2011, dare they seek salvation? They had years and years of warning. Hundreds of years, and they would not listen. But now they want God to listen to them? In response, the Lord says, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Sorry, but you have no more hope. The day has come, and you have been found naked in your sins. Now you must pay the consequences of your sin, and that you can no longer be saved. And on the last day, you must be annihilated. Truly, justice has finally come. Let's move on to verse 7 of Revelation 9. And I'll start by reading that verse. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. In this verse we first read, And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. The word translated as shapes in the phrase, And the shapes of the locusts, simply means likenesses. And so the entire sentence can be translated, And the likenesses of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. This is simply revealing what the locusts are. They are like unto horses prepared unto battle. And since the locusts are symbolic of the judgment of God, we are being told that the judgment of God is like unto horses prepared unto battle, which means that the judgment of God is being pictured as a battle. We see this throughout Scripture. For instance, we read in Revelation 19, verse 19, And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him, that is against Christ, that sat on the horse, and against his army. And again, we see that Judgment Day is pictured as a battle in Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole earth to gather them together to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Notice that the judgment day ever since May 21, 2011 is referred to as the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And this battle takes place at Armageddon, which means the hill or Mount of Megiddo, which in turn is all symbolic of the spiritual realm where this battle is taking place. So we can say that the Battle of Armageddon has been spiritually taking place ever since May 21, 2011, as all the false prophets spread their pollution and supposed miracles to the whole world with signs and wonders, while the true gospel brings judgment against them all through the Word of God, until when on the last day judgment reaches its climax and Satan and his kingdom are completely and literally annihilated forevermore. Well, let's now return to our verse. It says, "And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men." It is extremely important to recognize at this point that on the heads of the locusts were as crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. It does not say that on their heads were crowns of gold, and their faces were faces of men, but it says that on their heads were as crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. In other words, the locusts are not said to have the attributes of crowns of gold and the faces of men like the elect would have, but they are said to have crowns as crowns like gold and faces as the faces of men, which the elect would not have. Since the attributes of actually having crowns of gold and faces of men can be those of the elect, one might think that these locusts are the elect of God themselves. But because these locusts are said to only have as crowns like gold and faces as the faces of men, these locusts cannot be the actual elect. But they must only be something similar to or like or as the elect. And what is similar to or like or as the elect? Why, it is the very judgment of God itself. It is like the elect in that it is very... It is the very message that the elect carry with them. No, it cannot be just the elect themselves, but it is the very judgment that the elect carry with them, which like an invisible cloud of smoke has now filled the entire world. This is why the judgment of God, that is the locusts, was said to have come out of the smoke in verse 3, because like the smoke, it represents the very judgment of God, and it has come to fill the entire world as a swarm of locusts. These locusts could not possibly just be referring to the elect themselves, because the elect are far too few compared to the whole to be able to fill the whole earth. But since the locusts are the very judgment of God itself, and so represent a much broader and bigger category than simply the elect, the judgment of God is able to cover the entire world, whereas the elect are not. Yes, the elect are messengers of the judgment of God, but the judgment of God travels much further and infiltrates much deeper than the elect themselves. So, the elect themselves identify with the locusts, yes, but the locusts are much more than just the elect. They are like a cloud of judgment that has covered the whole earth to harden people in their sins, and so set them apart to reveal that they are under the very wrath of God. But now we are told that on the heads of the locusts were, as it were, crowns like gold. Crowns are normally associated with the elect, because or Christ, because it is they who have become kings through Jesus Christ, and kings wear crowns. And in that the crowns are gold also identifies with the elect, since the elect can be typified by gold, as, for instance, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that is the elect, wood, hay, stubble, that is the non-elect, and the term the third part, which is symbolic of the corporate church, which includes the elect, is compared to being like gold in Zechariah 13, verse 9, where we read, "And I will bring the third part," that is the elect, "through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So we see then that both crowns and gold can be identified with being the elect. But we must remember that the locusts have on their heads as crowns like gold and not actual crowns of gold as the elect would have. This reveals that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, are not the actual elect, but only in some way like the elect. And how is the judgment of God like or as the elect? Well, we already answered this question previously, but let's answer it again. The judgment of God, that is the locusts, is like or as the elect in that the elect carry with them and proclaim the very judgment of God itself. But the elect are not the judgment of God itself, but only associated with it, or a part of the judgment of God. The judgment of God is the Word of God, which has now, ever since May 21, 2011, brought judgment upon the entire world. It has infiltrated every nook and cranny in the world, and the Word has judged all unsaved people to everlasting destruction. This all goes far beyond what the elect could do through their proclamation alone. So we see that the locusts, the judgment of God, could not possibly be limited to just being the elect, but must be something much greater, wider, and deeper, which is the Word of God in judgment, which in spirit has come to fill the whole world. Nevertheless, the elect are a part of this judgment as they proclaim it, so that they cannot be left out of the discussion when we speak about the locusts, namely, the judgment of God. Now we also read that the faces of the locusts were as the faces of men, and that word men can be translated as humans to include females as well as men. This is revealing that the judgment of God, that is the locusts, is associated with the faces of humans. Why? Well, because humans, that is the elect, are the ones who carry the message of God's judgment. They are not the judgment of God itself, as we've already shown. Therefore, they are not the judgment of God itself in its entirety, I should say. Therefore, they are not the locusts themselves, but they carry the judgment of God and so are associated with and part of it. If the faces of the locusts were the faces of men, then we would have to conclude that the locusts are the elect. But since they are only as the faces of men, we know that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, are not the elect, but only somehow similar to or like the elect. And the only way in which the locusts, that is the judgment of God, and the elect are similar is that they are both identified with the judgment of God. One is the very judgment of God itself, while the other is simply the carrier of or part of the judgment of God. So, we see that the locusts are a much broader category than just the elect, although the elect can be considered a part of the locusts, namely, the very judgment of God. Okay, let's move on to verse 8 of Revelation 9. And as I usually do, I'll read that verse first. It reads, "And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions." In this verse, we are first being told that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, had hair as the hair of women. What can this mean? In order to understand this, we must read 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to read verses 2 all the way through 16 to give us a clear context of what we're talking about. "Now I praise you, brethren, that we recommend that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." In this passage, we learn of the authority structure of the kingdom of God on earth. We read that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We further read that this authority structure or order should be maintained when it comes to praying or prophesying, namely that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. What this teaches us is that a man who covers his head being Christ, while praying or prophesying, that is, he covers over the truths of Christ in the Bible, and instead prophesies or prays from his own mind, or the mind of others, dishonors his head who is Christ. And a woman who does not cover her head being man, as we were taught, while praying or prophesying, that is, she does not remain under the guidance and authority of man, but does her own thing, so to speak, dishonors her head who is man. So, a man should not pray or prophesy with his head, that is Christ, covered, but a woman should pray and prophesy with her head, that is man, covered. And to show that the woman should be under the authority of man, nature itself has placed on the heads of women longer hair than men in general. This longer hair is meant to be a symbol and a reminder that she is under the authority of man and should therefore pray and prophesy accordingly. Now, returning to our verse, we can begin to understand what it means that the locusts had hair as hair of women. It means that the locusts are under authority, even as the hair of women is given as a covering to symbolize that women are under authority, so also the locusts are under authority, Yet whereas women are under the authority of man, the locusts are obviously under the authority of God. So, in that locusts, that is the judgment of God, are said to have hair as the hair of women, it simply means that the judgment of God is under authority. And just whose authority the judgment of God is under is obvious. It is under the authority of God. Otherwise, it would not be the judgment of God. What's more, since the locusts here are said to have hair as the hair of women, they can be being likened to the elect, because the elect could be said to have the hair of women in that they are under the authority of a man, namely Jesus Christ. Yet, because the locusts are said to have hair as the hair of women and not the very hair of women, the locusts are only being likened to being similar to or like the elect in some way. And as we have already said, the locusts, the judgment of God, are similar to the elect in that they are under authority, even as the elect are under authority. But the locusts are not actually the elect. They are the judgment of God itself, which is only similar to, like, or as the elect, in that the judgment of God and the elect are both under authority. Next, we are told that the teeth of the locusts were as the teeth of lions. The teeth of lions are normally what are used to devour prey. And in that the locusts represent the judgment of God, this is saying that the judgment of God, or the locusts, has power to devour the unsaved as the teeth of lions. In fact, this is what has been happening ever since May 21, 2011. The unsaved have been being devoured in that there is no more possibility of eternal salvation for them. It is as if they have been cast into the teeth of lions and are being devoured until when on the last day they will be completely eaten and gone, annihilated forevermore. Now the teeth of the locusts are said to be as the teeth of lions. They are not the teeth of lions, but only as the teeth of lions. This is why the locusts cannot be the elect. For although the elect might be considered to have the teeth of lions since they are in Christ, and Christ is known as the lion of the tribe of Judah, nevertheless, we are not being told that the locusts have the teeth of lions, but we are being told that they have teeth as the teeth of lions. In other words, the locusts are not the elect, but only similar to, like, or as the elect in some way, and in this case, the way they are alike or similar is that both the locusts and the elect are both capable of devouring the unsaved. The judgment of God does so by the removal of salvation, while the elect do so by carrying and proclaiming the message of that salvation has come to an end. But the elect are not the locusts, and the locusts are not just the elect, but they are the very essence of the judgment of God, which is a much broader thing than just being the elect. It is the judgment that has come out of the smoke to devour the entire world. Yes, the elect are a part of this judgment, but they are not the fullness of what the locusts represent. The locusts represent the invisible judgment of God, which has come upon the entire world ever since May 21, 2011. It includes the elect as they proclaim the message of judgment, but it is much greater and larger than just being the elect. It not only includes the message of the elect, but it includes all the judgment of God, all that it entails, including the hardening of sinners in their sin during this day of judgment. Let's move on to verse 9. Let's first of all read verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. Now here we find that the locusts had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. a more literal translation, and they had breastplates as breastplates of iron. Now, one might think that the breastplates are worn by priests, and so this would infer that the locusts are priests who are a representation of the elect, because the elect are priests. But because we are told that the locusts had breastplates as the breastplates of iron, and not the very breastplates of iron that the elect would wear, we must conclude that the locusts are not the elect, but only in some way like or as the elect. And just how is the judgment of God, that is the locust, like the elect here? Well, for one thing, both the God of judgment, who is Christ, and the elect are priests. And this is represented in that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, have breastplates as the breastplates of iron. In other words, the judgment of God is identified with the priest, Jesus Christ, who, spiritually speaking, wears a breastplate, even as the elect, spiritually speaking, wear breastplates because they are priests in Jesus Christ. But not only is the God of judgment, who is identified with the locusts and the elect, similar in that they both wear breastplates, which identifies them both with being priests, but they both wear breastplates of iron. Why breastplates of iron? Well, iron identifies with judgment. And let me read, for instance, some verses to make that clear. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 through 48, we read, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee." And in Leviticus 26 we read, in verses 18 and 19, "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass." In Psalm 2 we read, verses 7 through 8, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." So we see that iron is clearly associated with judgment. This is why Christ is said to now be ruling during the day of judgment, ever since May 21, 2011, with a rod of iron, as we read in Revelation 19, verse 15. "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So, what can we now conclude about the breastplates as the breastplates of iron? Is that the breastplates of iron that are the judgment of God? Let me restate that. What can we now conclude about the breastplates as the breastplates of iron that the judgment of God, that is the locusts, wear? Well, the breastplates identifies the judgment of God as being priestly, in that it is a priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings judgment, and it is an iron breastplate because iron is associated with being the time of judgment, which it has been ever since May 21, 2011. But now we read of the locusts, "And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." What could this mean? In order to examine this, we should first realize that the words sound in the phrase and the sound of their wings can be translated as voice. So our verse now reads, "And the voice of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." But what do wings symbolize in the Bible? We find most commonly that wings are associated with God Himself. For example, we read the following about the seraphim, who are a representation of God. We read in Exodus 25, verse 20, "And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be." And we continue to read of the seraphim in Exodus 37, verse 9, and the cherubim spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, and their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat ward, were the faces of the cherubims. We also see that the four living creatures that are a representation of God Himself, they have wings, as we read in Ezekiel 1, verses 5 through 6. "Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings." We see that these living creatures are symbolizing God, and that we read immediately after the description of the four living creatures in Ezekiel 1, verse 28, "As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This," which includes the four living creatures, "was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." Now, we see further that wings are a part of God in many passages in the Bible. For instance, in Ruth 2, verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Here we see that the wings are the wings of the Lord God of Israel. We find that to be under the wings of the Lord is to be under His loving care, as we read in many of the Psalms in particular. And just let me read a couple of those. Psalm 36:7. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And in Psalm 17, verse 8, we read, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." So, in summary, what we have seen is that wings relate to God Himself. Indeed, God is likened to having wings, as we have seen in many places of the Bible. But now let's return to our verse. It says, once again, "And the voice of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." We now can understand that the voice of their wings is giving reference to the voice of God, since wings are often representative of God Himself. And in the context of Judgment Day, this is revealing that it is the voice of God which is doing the battle. And His voice can be likened to the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, because it is the voice of God, the Word of God, that is now judging the unsaved of the world by removing any possibility for salvation from them and declaring that Judgment Day has come. We even have further confirmation that the sound or voice of wings has to do with the voice of God in Ezekiel 1, verse 24. "And when they went, I heard the noise," that is, or we could translate it, "voice of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host." And we read in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 5, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaks. So, the symbolism of the voice of wings has to do with the very voice or word of God. It is the voice of God that is now battling against the world. This is why it is likened to the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, because it is a spiritual battle. It is Armageddon. And the Lord is coming in battle along with all His elect, and they are spiritually destroying the unsaved by the voice of God Almighty, which states, "Salvation has come to an end. You have but a short while, and you will all be annihilated. Cry, weep, howl, and mourn, for the end has come. The world has indeed been caught in the snare of the Lord, and as a fowl is snared by surprise, so has the world been judged by surprise without even knowing it, when on that last day they will no longer say, 'We are not snared,' but they will say, 'We have been snared. We have been snared, and now it is too late, and we must die.'" Now let's move on to verse 10. Verse 10, it reads, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months." Now in this verse we read, "And they had tails like unto scorpions." We already learned that the term scorpions is symbolic of false prophets or brethren or demonic powers. But what does the word tails mean? We are given a direct answer to this in Isaiah 9, where we read in verse 15, "The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." So as we just read, the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. In simple terms, the false prophet is the tail. And in that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, had tails like unto scorpions, is revealing that the judgment of God is likened to false prophets. And how can it be that the judgment of God be likened to false prophets? This is because just as the judgment of God brings no more salvation ever since May 21, 2011, so do false prophets bring no more salvation as they lead people astray. This is how the judgment of God can be likened to false prophets. Once again, just as false prophets bring no salvation as they lead people astray, so also the judgment of God brings no salvation. Now, before moving on in our verse, let me say this. When the scripture says that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, had tails like unto scorpions, this obviously does not mean that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, are scorpions. Similarly, when we had seen that the locusts are as the given attributes of the elect, such as they have crowns, as crowns like gold, hair as the hair of women, teeth as the teeth of lions, faces as the faces of men, and so on, this obviously does not mean that the locusts are the elect. It only means that the locusts, that is the judgment of God, are similar to the elect. And as we have learned, the locusts, that is the judgment of God, are similar to the elect in that one is the very judgment of God while the other proclaims the judgment of God. Yes, we could say that the elect are a part of the locusts or a part of the judgment of God, but we cannot say that the locusts are a part of the elect. No. The locusts are much bigger and broader category than that. The locusts are everything that has to do with the judgment of God during these days of judgment. They are the message of judgment. They are what has now removed salvation from the world. They are what has now hardened people in their sins so that they live more according to their own lusts. They are like an invisible cloud that has completely engulfed the world in a plague of deep darkness and which has placed people into an eternal blind stupor. So, We see a difference between the locusts and the elect, and we see a similarity between the locusts and the elect. But the locusts are not the elect, even though the elect are a part of the locusts, as the locusts are the judgment of God, which the elect proclaim against the world, ever since May 21, 2011. Now, our verse continues, and it says this, "And there were stings in their tails." There were stings in their tails. This is revealing that the judgment of God, that is the locusts, has stings in its tails. Since tails refers to false prophets, the stings are being likened to that of a false prophet. And what do false prophets do? They speak and teach false things that ultimately cannot save. So what we have being pictured here is the judgment of God being likened to false prophets, because what the judgment of God is declaring is no more salvation, even as false prophets can only bring no more salvation. This message of no more salvation, in a sense, stings the unsaved people of the world. It harms them because through the message of the judgment of God that there is no more salvation, the unsaved people are condemned to death. There is no eternal hope for them, but only the waiting for the inevitable, which is death forevermore. Finally, we are told that the power of the judgment of God, that is the power of the locusts, was to hurt men 5 months. As we had already previously learned, the 5 months is not a literal 5 months, but it is symbolic of the period of time from May 21, 2011 until the end. And you can click on Revelation 9, 1 through 5 and look at verse 5 to see this. We once thought that this period of time might be 1600 days, which would have ended on October 6, 2015. But obviously that was not the case, as the end has still not come. Oh well, we will keep searching, for it is guaranteed to happen, and guaranteed to happen in a relatively short period of time. Well, let's move on to verse 11. We'll go through verse 11 and verse 12 and say a little bit about them before we end with a conclusion. Verse 11 reads, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon." In this verse, we are told who the king over the judgment of God, that is the locust, is. Why, it is, as we are told, the angel of the bottomless pit. Some have thought that this angel to be Satan, since he is the one normally associated with the bottomless pit. But this is incorrect, because as we read in Revelation 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel," and this angel is Christ, "come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." From this verse, we see that the one who has the key to the bottomless pit is not Satan, but Christ himself. For he is the angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. In other words, the one who has control over the bottomless pit and is therefore the king to the bottomless pit is Jesus Christ, who is our Lord God. We see further support for this in that we are told that his name is Abaddon or Apollyon in the Greek. Abaddon in the Hebrew means destruction, while Apollyon in Greek means destroyer. At first thought, it might be difficult to accept that Christ can be called destruction or the destroyer. But when he comes in judgment, this is exactly what he is. For instance, we read in Exodus 12, verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he sees the blood upon the lintel, And on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer. And the destroyer is clearly God himself. He's the one who said that he would destroy everyone who did not have the blood on their doorposts. The destroyer, God himself, to come in unto your house to smite you. God is the destroyer when he comes in judgment. So we can understand why he can be called destruction as well as the destroyer. So we might ask, why is Christ having the name of destruction and destroyer here in our verse? Well, because he has come in judgment against the world ever since May 21, 2011. He is destroying the unsaved by having removed any possibility for their salvation. They have nothing but death to look forward to now. They have no eternal hope. Indeed, they have been brought to destruction by the destroyer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The last verse that we will briefly comment on is verse 12. It simply states, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Here we are first told that one woe is past. This is the one woe, which is the one and the same with the sounding of the fifth trumpet. And it includes everything that we have gone over in Revelation 9 up until this point. But now we are told, behold, there come two woes more hereafter. The word behold is a command, and it means to be perceiving or be seeing what is about to follow, which we are told are two woes more hereafter. These two woes refer to the sounding of the sixth and seventh trumpets. The sixth trumpet has to do with things in the rest of Revelation 9, as well as Revelation 10 and a part of Revelation 11, while the seventh trumpet has to do with things beginning in Revelation 11, verse 14. In our next study, we will be discussing the sounding of the sixth trumpet to the end of Revelation 9. This will be the second woe. But notice that we are told that there come two woes more hereafter. Does this mean that the second and third woes come in chronological order after the first woe? One gets the impression, because we are told that the two woes come hereafter, that it is after the first woe. Yet it is important to realize that the words hereafter literally can be translated after these things. And the word after in after these things might also be translated with these things. Our verse therefore can be saying, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more with these things. This is revealing that the second and third woe do not have to come after the first woe in chronological order, but rather that they come right along with these things, that is, at the same time as the things of the first woe. And as we begin to go through the second woe in our next study, we will find that the second woe can go right along with the things of the first woe, so that the best translation would not be to use the words hereafter as the King James Bible translated. But the best translation would be as follows. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more with these things. And since the first woe was all about Judgment Day after May 21, 2011, until the end, as we have seen, so will the second and third woes have to do with Judgment Day, because they come right along with these things of the first woe. Okay, let's summarize a little and conclude this study. In this study of Revelation 9, verses 6 through 12, we continued with a description of the spiritual judgment that has come upon the whole world at the sounding of the fifth angel, which began on May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline of history, and continues to the end of the world. During this time, we were first told that men shall seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And we came to realize that this does not mean that people are seeking to die by suicide, but death flees from them. No, rather, it means that people are seeking to die in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. But this death in Christ for their salvation flees from them, because eternal salvation is no longer possible. Then, we also learned that during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, in verses 7 through 8, that the shapes of the locusts, that is the judgment of God, were like unto horses prepared unto battle, to teach us that this judgment of God is a battle. In fact, this judgment of God is the spiritual battle of Armageddon that everyone thinks is going to happen sometime in the future, but which is happening right now. And it continues until the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day, when victory will be completed as all the unsaved of the world will be destroyed forever due to their sins. Furthermore, in that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, have as it were crowns like gold on their heads, and that their faces were as the faces of people, means that the judgment of God is associated with the elect, who, like Christ, are the ones that spiritually have crowns of gold on their heads, and who are the people that declare God's judgment of no more eternal salvation to the world. So the elect are not the locusts themselves, but the locusts do come by the elect as they declare judgment upon the world. And what's more, we were told that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth are as the teeth of lions. And we learned that this meant that the locusts, through the elect, come by the authority of God, and they come to devour as the teeth of a lion devours its prey, by condemning all the unsaved people to eternal damnation, wherein none can any longer be eternally saved. But also, during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, we were told in verses 9 through 10 that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. In that these locusts had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, means that these locusts are associated with priests, namely the elect, for breastplates are worn by priests. And it is these priests, namely the elect, who are associated with the locusts, because they declare the judgment of God against the world. And additionally, in that the sound of these locusts' wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, means that the voice of God came against the world in judgment as the noise of a great battle. Furthermore, in that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, means that the judgment of God came in a way similar to false prophets, which sting people by leading them into gospels which cannot save. So just as false prophets sting people with no salvation but condemnation, so also does the Word of God in these days sting people with no salvation but condemnation. And these locusts, that is the judgment of God, have power to hurt people for 5 months, which is symbolic of the relatively short time period from May 21, 2011 to the end of the world. Now, last of all, during this time, ever since May 21, 2011, we were told in verse 11 that these locusts, that is the judgment of God, had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And we learn that this king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, is Jesus Christ himself. He has the name in Hebrew of Abaddon, which means destruction, and the name in Greek of Apollyon, which means destroyer, because he has come in judgment to ensure the destruction of everyone who was not eternally saved by May 21, 2011. Now, with all that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.